So I want to thank everyone for coming and giving me the opportunity to present this paper. Today I'll be talking a little bit about the healthy migrant effect and whether or not we see this for mental health as well as physical health in labor migrants who move to Europe. So I have no financial disclosures. I'll talk a little bit about, as I said, the background of the healthy migrant effect, methods that we used to examine it in our sample. I'll talk about the implications for physical and mental health of immigrants and some explanatory pathways that underlie our findings. So first of all, there's been an increasing role of immigration over the past 50 years, and the number of migrants has more than doubled since 1975 to 56 million in Europe broadly and 41 million in North America. And due to increasing migration coupled with the demographic transitions, immigrants now embody a larger fraction of the aging population than in previous decades, presenting new challenges for economic and public health systems. And as you can see from the quote, it's often thought by economists and public policy specialists that immigrants embody a solution to labor shortages, but there's not the anticipation that migrants will come and settle in their new country. So the idea is that they'll come, they'll provide a short-term labor supply, and then they will re-migrate back to their home country when they decide to retire. However, this is not the case, and we now have larger aging populations of migrants in many countries, including in Europe, across Europe, and in the US. So immigration and health, why might we be concerned specifically about migrants? So there's four main pathways that have been suggested. The first is lower socioeconomic position and occupational stress in immigrants. Second of all, especially in later life, mental and physical health are highly comorbid. So if you might think that immigrants have higher risk factors for depression and risk factors for mental illness in general based on their social position and occupational stress, they may likely be at risk for physical health or physical morbidity as well. Third, institutional barriers are more salient in this population, and they may find more barriers to access for care. And finally, with respect to cultural factors, there is a significant concern for mental health, for help seeking with respect to mental health. So, despite these factors, there's a surprising finding that's rather consistent across immigrant populations, in which immigrants have lower mortality rates than the domestic-born population. And that's been loosely called the healthy migrant effect. And there's a number of explanations for this effect. So one is that it's largely selection. So immigrants are healthier than their domestic-born population in their home country. And when they migrate to a new country, they're still healthier than the baseline population. A second explanation is the salmon bias. And this is the idea that migrants who are sick tend to remigrate back to their home country, and leaving the sample of migrants in the new country healthier than the entire sample was to begin with. Third, there's a number of data sources that have recently been revealed, stemming from record keeping, specifically birth and death records. And finally, migrants, after they immigrate to a new country, they have very different risk factors for mortality. So they, especially immigrants that come from developing countries. So in developing countries, they face risk factors for mortality that are largely infectious disease, and after moving to developed countries, their risk factors, the main risk factors for mortality are chronic illness. And so they have this period in which they face fewer risks for chronic disease than the domestic-born population. So in this study, as I've said, though there's lower mortality for immigrants compared to the domestic-born population, it's unclear whether or not there's corresponding lower morbidity rates, and finally whether or not that corresponds to also better mental health in the domestic population. So in this In this study, we're asking a few very simple questions. First, what happens to immigrants in later life? How do they fare after immigrating? The second is whether, if they do exhibit this physical health advantage, which I've just discussed, the question is whether they also exhibit a corresponding mental health advantage. And finally, we look to see whether some of the pathways, explanatory pathways that are cited in the literature, explain the gap in health between domestic-born and immigrant populations, specifically with respect to healthcare utilization. So our sample, we looked at the Survey of Health, Aging, and Retirement in Europe, which is called SHARE for short. It's the sister survey of the Health and Retirement, the HRS survey, in the United States. Immigrants were almost 6% of our sample. We define immigrants to be foreign-born, having arrived in the country after 1950 to avoid war-related displacement. We look at male labor migrants. And again, to reiterate, the survey was administered in the official language of the country. So though undocumented immigrants may be reluctant to report and participate in these types of studies, this is less of a concern in this study here because most of our sample has been in the country for over 30 years. So it's not really as much of a concern. We look at three different constructs of health. Having more than two chronic illnesses, more than one ADL limitation, those are our measures of physical health. And then we look at the cut point of the EuroD, which is the European equivalent to the SESD scale, as our mental health outcome. So our analysis, we use multivariate logistic regressions to estimate the relationship between immigration and health, and we control for a number of factors, including age, age squared, employment, BMI, functional mobility, household income, education, and we used country fixed effects. We also controlled for citizenship status and country of origin. And these are the explanatory pathways that are commonly cited in the literature, which explain somewhat the vulnerability of immigrants. And so we explore them one by one. So we look at health behaviors, family and social support, social participation, citizenship and duration of stay, labor force status, occupational stress and job satisfaction within our currently employed group, utilization of health services, and country of origin. So these are our main findings. And as you can see, risk of depression is the risk of depression in immigrants is more than 1.5 times the risk in the domestic-born population. While they have this very high risk for depression, their physical health risks are much lower. And as you can see, they're physically much healthier than the domestic-born population. So we do find somewhat of a healthy migrant effect in terms of physical health, but this does not hold for mental health. And again, these are in models controlling for the covariates that I've just listed. So now we look to see which explanatory pathways might explain this gap for mental health. So here our outcome, again, is depression, and we're trying to explain what might underlie the gap between immigrants and the domestic-born population. Here we have our basic model, and as you can see, the risk is 1.7, the domestic-born population. We adjust for health behaviors such as drinking, smoking, BMI, and ADL and chronic diseases. After adjusting for family and family support and social participation. So social participation might be participating in a political organization, in a sports organization, these common questions. Family support is based on having the number of children you have and having them live nearby, so within, I think it's a 20-mile radius. Thank you. We look at citizenship and duration of stay. And as you can see, the coefficients don't change significantly despite adding all these explanatory pathways. So we can conclude from this that many of the pathways that are cited in the literature do not actually explain the higher risk of depression in immigrants relative to the domestic-born population. So finally, we look to see whether it's limitations in access to care. And what you can see from this slide is that there's no difference between immigrants and non-immigrants with respect to being treated by a GP or by a specialist, a non-psychiatrist or psychologist. specialist. But as you can see, when participants were asked if they were treated specifically for depression, there was a big difference. So they were less likely to be treated for depression than the non-migrant group. So finally, what can we conclude from this? So as I said, we find this is one of the first studies to look at both mental and physical health of immigrants in later life and to see whether or not some of the explanatory pathways that are commonly cited explain the gaps. And what we find is that mental health and physical health diverge in immigrant populations. And while immigrants face over 1.5 times the odds of depression, they have a large physical health advantage. So we find that surprising. Socioeconomic status, social support, and social participation were predictive relative to our basic model, though citizenship and healthcare utilization don't seem to explain the gap. We ran a few separate models that I haven't shown here, and we found that increased duration of stay is associated with poor physical health, and this corresponds to the literature showing convergence of physical health the longer that migrants stay in their host country, although it's also potentially associated with higher levels of relative deprivation. With respect to health policy implications, though immigrants have access to general practitioners and specialists at the same rate as non-immigrants, they do seem to be treated less frequently for depression, which may indicate some gaps in quality of care. So in this case, we can see, because all of our immigrants are covered universally, that universal coverage does not necessarily alleviate mental health disparities. And interventions should target quality of care, specifically for depression in immigrants. And finally, other interventions, we think, should focus on social engagement of immigrants and reducing barriers to mental health care. So thanks very much, and just my acknowledgments. Thank you.